Hello and welcome back to How We Roll podcast. We are here with a brand new special arc. This is Pulp Cthulhu, not normal Call of Cthulhu. It's set in the 1930s and it links to our overarching Two-Headed Serpent campaign. We're calling this arc the B Team, at least tentatively for now, because it includes characters that are brand new and I guess only for this arc. I guess some may survive, we'll see. And we've got a slightly different cast to our Two-Headed Serpent. So if you've never listened to Two-Headed Serpent before, if you've never heard Pulp Cthulhu before, then this is absolutely the arc for you. My name is Joe Tritt. I'll be your host and one of the players, but I will not be GMing. So without further ado, can I introduce or reintroduce Scott? Scott, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. So with the B Team, what we're doing is we're exploring a chapter of the Two-Headed Serpent, which it looks like the main cast is not going to get to. So we figured rather than just leave it out, we'd do it effectively as a one-shot. So if you haven't listened to the Two-Headed Serpent, all you really need to know at this stage, I guess, is that the player characters are all in the employ of an organization called Caduceus. Caduceus presents itself to the world as a medical aid charity, going around to hotspots, so places where there are outbreaks of disease, war, natural disasters, and they aim to help people there. But as the player characters in the main arc have discovered pretty quickly, that is a front for another more secret mission that is to do with combating certain forces of the mythos, particularly a secretive organization called the Inner Knight, which appears to be trying to bring about some kind of apocalypse and is made up entirely of serpent people, or almost entirely of serpent people, and sometimes their human cat's paws. But what the player characters in the main Two-Headed Serpent arc have also discovered is that Caduceus, in turn, is also largely led by certain people, and they are of a different religious faction, and there appears to be some kind of, holy war going on between the two factions. And a lot of what the heroes in the main arc have been trying to determine is how much they can really trust the motivations of Caduceus, what Caduceus are really up to. And our heroes in this arc have also been coming to similar conclusions. They have similar suspicions, and they have been doing some investigating, poking around of their own. But we'll come to that later. In the meantime, shall we just introduce, well, I think for a start, the players, because we've got a different lineup, just say, I think, briefly who you're playing, but we'll deal with the in-depth character introductions, well, in character.
Hey, I'm Dave, and I am playing Bobby Saget, because why not?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That was just me up on the spot, I knew it.
He's a little scary fucker from World War One vet, and kind of looks like an uglier Toby Jones who hit the gym a lot.
I guess I'll go next, and not mention the HR issue of I've come into now a B team all of a sudden, because otherwise it's the same team. I'm Owen. I'm playing Timothy Alcott Jr., who is a parapsychologist. Kind of long, skinny, but slight man. Bit of an egghead.
Hi, I'm Camille. You may recognize me as Jane Farewell from our main campaign, 2HS. I will be playing today a different character called Minerva Schmidt, who is a 28-year-old clerk working for Caduceus.
Hey, everyone. Current, me as playing Dr. Julian, or probably Ethan. R.I.P. Anyway, the today I will be playing Brian Vittinen. He is incredibly handsome pacifist who's very good at fighting, and he's basically Kronk. He's a very large chiseled man who is very nervous about damaging his good looks. He's not down to fight.
So I'm playing a 65-year-old retired sergeant from Pontypridd in Wales named Argyle Williams, who I've managed to deck out with 90 size.
Just showing off.
We'll see how well this goes.
Marvellous. Well, as I mentioned, your characters have all developed some suspicions about Caduceus. But let's ignore that for the moment and start off instead with you waking up. It's hot. I mean, maybe you're hot, maybe you're feverish, but I mean, you certainly feel sweaty. Your sheets, the bed sheets that you realize you're lying in, are definitely soaked in sweat, and you can smell sweat and sickness in the air. The room is dark, and you can hear the sound of other people breathing around you. You're feeling tired and disorientated, a little weak. And, yeah, from outside, you think you can hear maybe insect sounds, bird song, but not very familiar bird song. But you know, that's coming from some distance away through closed windows. The air in here is quite still. As I said, smells quite badly of sweat. And there is a woman in the room who's looking around. As you're opening your eyes, you can see she's wearing a white uniform, though it's a bit grubby. And seeing some of you start to stir, some of you start to come round, she suddenly perks up a little bit and runs over to the door, sticks her head out and starts shouting something in what you, at least I think some of you probably fairly quickly identify as French. What do you do?
Oh my God. This place is awful. Oh, this, my shirt is stuck to my skin. What is all that racket?
Oh, I must have left the heating on. My new beige pajamas are ruined.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I smell sweat and I hear French. Is this a whorehouse?
Who are you calling a whore?
Well,
careful.
Oh, God. This must be a nightmare. I think I ate some off salmon or something. Ugh.
Do we know each other?
No, not necessarily.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, we're not in New York anymore. I recognize that as French, but it's not the French that I heard in the war. And he's going to shout out in terrible French. All right, my love, has you got a glass of water for us in here? It's boiling hot.
The nurse at the door turns back and says, yes, one moment. We will get drinks for you. Please wait. The doctor will want to examine you.
Whenever sort of looking around, more awake now, how many people are in this room? Because it's so stinky.
Yeah, there appear to be five of you in the room. There are maybe eight beds looking around. Yeah, you think eight beds. Though, as I said, it's dim in the room, so it's a bit difficult to tell. You are each wearing, you realise, hospital gowns.
I've got another question.
These aren't my beige pajamas.
Is Argyle fitting on a bed?
Yeah, Argyle probably isn't fitting on the bed. And I think as he sits himself up, the bed almost kind of bends at either side to accommodate as his weight sinks down in the middle, almost down to the floor.
Oh, easy, big guy. Not sure that bed could handle your weight.
Where the hell do you think we are? This looks like a hospital, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe even a field hospital.
Yeah, in France.
It's not France, although they were speaking French.
At this point, from the side of the room, kind of a tall slip of a man with no real presence in the room kind of slips out of darkness, going, clearly it's French. I have a level 60 French. Could I understand what she was saying? Or kind of pick up what was said?
Yeah. I mean, she was shouting for the doctor and saying they're awake. What the two of you who speak French could do, if you want, is just give me an education roll, just to see whether you can work something out.
That is a 93 versus 50. That's a fail.
You're joking me. That's a 92 versus 90.
You could spend 2 points of luck if you want.
No, I've been in games before. Scott, I would not need to know what she's saying to the doctor.
No. This isn't to identify what she's saying. You've managed to identify that. This is to pick something else up.
Oh, fine. If you're going to dangle that out in front of me, of course I'm going to spend a 2 luck. Down to 68.
Okay, then, yeah, you are fairly certain that she does have a Belgian accent rather than a French accent.
She appears to be Flemish. I don't know where you learned your French. I'm guessing Louisiana, looking at the hulk of a man who's breaking a bed in the corner.
I didn't learn my French in Louisiana. I learned it in the trenches in World War One. Where do you learn your French? Buddy textbook.
At the university, actually, yeah. I actually learned it.
He'll mutter under his breath, bloody Rupert's. And he'll try and push himself up his office bed.
His head hits the ceiling. No.
He is a voluptuous man who is as wide almost as he is tall.
Amazing.
Looking around, yeah, then this is clearly a hospital ward, not a big one. The walls are wooden. They've been whitewashed. It looks like there's been some attempt to keep the place clean, but at the same time, it doesn't look that run down. It looks like it's probably a fairly new structure, but at the same time, it's not been desperately well maintained.
And there's no windows or anything, or...
Yeah, there are a couple of windows high up.
Okay, like skylights and stuff, okay. Yeah.
Just skylights, no.
Just to let some light and air in, but there aren't windows that normal eye level. They're very high up.
Does it smell like kind of putrid in this room?
Not putrid, no. Like I say, it does mainly just smell of old sweat. And you do realise that a lot of that sweat is coming from, each of you.
Argyle.
A lady doesn't sweat, she perspires.
Bobby looks under his sheets. Does anybody see our clothes?
Yeah. Where are my beige pajamas? I only got them last week.
Bobby proceeds to get up, the gown flapping around behind him, starts looking around under the bed, looking for a cupboard.
Gross, sir. This isn't a whorehouse. Put your ass away.
I ain't got nothing you ain't seen before.
The only thing you see under your bed is a chamber pot.
I imagine Argyle isn't actually wearing a gown, but a stitched together sheet to cover his size.
A horse jacket.
No, I mean, Minerva looks around and doesn't really spot anything other than the beds. There are little cabinets beside each bed that look like they're designed to hold water jugs and medication and stuff like that. But as far as your personal effects and stuff like that are concerned, no, there's no sign of them.
Are there any mirrors in the room?
No.
I tell you what, guys, how about I speak a little French? I go speak to this nurse and see... what's happening?
Oh, okay, random man.
Timothy. The name's Timothy.
Hi, Timothy. Name's Brian. And you said you were Minerva?
I'm Minerva Schmidt, yes.
All right, Ms. Schmidt. Pleasure to meet you, acquaintance. Timothy, you go find out what's going on. Okay? We'll hold down the fort here, naked or whatever.
Whenever sort of gathering her sheets around her.
The only way you'd be naked would be if you took your hospital gown off.
I
mean, if you're taking it off, I'm not stopping you, but that would be a deliberate act.
He has like appearance 90. I say bring it on.
No,
it's like,
don't
I
do
bet
that.
You that's an implant. No, what's
I'm an unmarried woman. Scandalous. And how about you, weird little man with your butt out? What's your name?
Bob.
Bob?
Bobby to... Well, Bobby to people who've seen my naked ass, so there you go.
Well, Bobby it is, unfortunately.
Well, nice to see you. I mean, meet you, Bobby. Yeah.
Yeah. While he's going off and, you know, speaking the frog, anybody got an idea of what we're doing here? Or where the fuck here is?
Do we have any, like, last memories?
Yeah, your last memories were... No, you're not really sure. There was something you were looking into, wasn't there? There was something you were just about to... Yeah, to do something, weren't you? We're just about to find something out and investigate something. And then, yeah, it's all very foggy after that.
I mean, you all do look quite familiar. Do you work in the Medium building in New York, Manhattan?
Yeah, yes. I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that explains it. I work for Frank DeLuca, head of security.
You might have seen me around the building, but mostly I just deal with... Canning. You know, the really nice guy that works there.
Oh,
he throws some work my way every once in a while.
A fine specimen of a man. I'm a clerk, by the way, in Dr. Gonsalves' department.
Oh.
I've worked there for years. Yeah. You might have noticed me. Mm-hmm. You probably didn't notice her.
Of course, my dear. I mean, I've worked security on odd jobs for Frank DeLuca. I've probably been by your office 1,000 times. I'm amazed we've never met before. Lovely to meet you in person.
Oh, we met at the last office party, actually. you know, I talked to you about my cats.
All right, you know. Of course. I mean, unforgettable. Unforgettable you were. I will say, though, I did drink quite a lot at that party. I probably even met my own mother if she was there, God rest her soul.
Yeah, you really started drinking after our conversation. I was like, wow, that man must be thirsty.
Actually, now that you mention it, I do think I've met you before, Argyle. I used to work with my mother down in the basement, you know, Dr. Vitanen. I used to just help around the lab, but I remember seeing your face a couple times, for sure. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I know your face.
It's very kind of you to say, sir. Normally when people remember me, they remember, they usually talk about my size or my form, but my face...
Well, you've got a very big face.
Indeed I do, my friend, and he'll shake your hand.
So hold up. He's big, he's pretty. We let's just leave that as said. We all work for Caduceus, and we all work in different departments. None of us remember how we got here. And then we wake up somewhere that speaks French, but is in France, in hospital beds.
Yeah.
And he just starts, you know, mouth half open with inquisitive look.
It wasn't like, another office party last night, was there?
I don't think so.
No,
let's just say I'm the kind of employee that doesn't get invited to those things, huh?
Yeah, my mom doesn't let me go to them either. It's not allowed, not kosher.
Oh, so you're Jewish?
No.
I just wonder, is Timothy still there? Is Timothy knocked off?
Timothy, meanwhile, has gone to speak to the nurse who's out in the corridor. You can see that, this is... just one room in a much larger building that, again, all seems to be this wooden structure that looks perhaps comparatively recent. The nurse who you've heard before, now that you're outside, you can see her a bit better. She's probably in her mid-30s. She's got fairly frizzy blonde hair, fairly tall. She is wearing, this white nurse's gown, which looks like it's seen better days. And she's shouting down the corridor to a man who's coming this way, who looks like he's probably in his 40s, a little overweight, balding, wearing wire-framed glasses. He's, again, wearing a fairly grubby-looking white coat, and he's scurrying... almost waddling towards you.
Timothy will straighten himself in a kind of overtly, almost formal manner, kind of straight back, walk over towards this doctor, stretch out his hand, and in like overly formal, like studied French, good day. There's clearly some mistake here. I'm new to Cadesius a couple of weeks. I'm a parapsychologist, and I seem to have been placed with the subjects I was meant to be studying. There's clearly been some mistake here.
He looks at you concerned for a moment and says, yes, I was afraid of this. Yes. So you don't remember the accident?
No. And you mean by accident, you mean mix-up, right?
No. I
assumed you drugged me like the other patients.
No. You have not been drugged. He turns around to the nurse and says, you said the others are awake too? And she nods. Let us go back into the isolation ward and we will talk there. It is perhaps better for you not to be out here.
Isolation ward?
Yes.
Why are we being isolated?
We have been trying an experimental treatment on you. You have been very ill. I will explain. I will explain to everyone. Please
come back. Canada? Into the Quebec?
He says no. And I mean, after your little conversation between the four of the rest of you, you can see Timothy come back and he's in the company of this doctor I just described. Who looks around and says, good, you are all awake now. Good, this is good. Yes, we have been trying you on a different drug regimen, and I was not sure, but it does seem to have been effective. He is speaking in English to the rest of you. I mean, his English isn't perfect, but it's fairly heavily accented, but... He said, good, I am very relieved. I thought that maybe not all of you would make it, but yes, it does look like you are all going to affect at least some form of recovery. I'm sorry, do you all remember what happened? Your friend here does not seem to.
I don't remember a damn thing. Nothing. What happened?
The last thing I remember, I was feeding Terrence. I was making sure all the cats had their food out and the amounts that they wanted. And the next moment, I wake up here in the hospital.
This is bad.
French people.
This is bad. He laughs and says, I'm sorry, madam. We are Belgian, but...
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to offend. Belgian. But people speak in Belgian.
He snorts. he says, so you do not remember. You were sent here by Cadesius. You were on a medical aid mission when your plane went down.
Bobby looks absolutely and utterly confounded. Medical aid mission?
Yes.
Cadesius sent me on a medical aid mission.
He looks very confused and says, what else would they have sent you for? They are a medical aid charity. We ask for their help.
We are an unusual group, if you look at us, to be sent on a medical aid mission. Where are we, good sir? We're obviously not in America.
No. You do not even remember that. Oh, this is bad.
I think we might be in Belgium. Yeah.
Not exactly. No, you are. You're in a village called Alunga. In the Congo, Belgium. Congo.
Oh.
The Congo.
We're in Africa.
Yes, Cadesius sent you here with medical aid supplies, but as I said,
I talk to people who lie on couches.
Your plane, for some reason, your pilot, unfortunately, he did not survive to explain this, but your pilot decided it would be a good idea to land at night. He says, yes, the accident, you were hurt during that, but that was not the worst of the problem. When you were rescued from the crash, you were bitten. You were bitten by tsetse flies. You have been treated for sleeping sickness.
Right.
What's the sleeping sickness?
Sleeping sickness. That is why they sent you out here. There has been an outbreak of a new strain of sleeping sickness here, a very bad one. The whole area is under quarantine now. It's
in case you catch the sleep.
No. It is a disease that is spread by these biting flies, these insects, these tsetse flies. You contract the illness, and then it is called sleeping sickness. But it is not just sleeping; it causes fever, delirium, pain, confusion. You sometimes sleep for very long periods of time. Other times you cannot sleep at all, and it causes brain damage, and eventually, a lot of people, they die. We have had a great deal of trouble treating this new strain. There are a great many treatments for sleeping sickness now. We have been using all the latest medication, but it has not proved very effective on a lot of our patients. But happily, yes, you have recovered. This is good. We thought we had lost you.
You guys all look at the bare cheeks of Bobby and the giant breaking a bit. You're all doctors?
I think that would be no.
I'm a clerk. I do accounts and filing.
My mother is a doctor, but I don't know if that actually is, like, hereditary.
Honey, it's not.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a doctor from the paranormal university there in Manhattan, but, like, not a medical doctor.
The paranormal university? Is this a Barnum thing?
No, not Barnum wishes he knew what we knew. I mean, we it's a real science. The term pseudoscience gets thrown around a lot, but it's a real science.
So, it's a real pseudoscience.
So says the doctor. Am I right in understanding then that none of you are medical doctors? You're not medical staff at all? None of you are even nurses or pharmacists?
I was a sergeant in the First World War, and I have some first aid skills.
All right. Well, there were other people on your plane. Maybe they were the medical staff and you were there to assist them in some capacity. But as I say, you are the ones who survived the crash. Mm. But still, it seems very strange Cadesius would send all of you to help us.
So I got a question, sir. How long are we going to be held here? Or do I get to... You know, leave this. It smells in here like this is bad.
Yes. No. Once we have examined you and made sure that you are well enough, then yes.
Well, okay then. I whip off my gown.
Examine.
Examine that.
Minerva puts a hand over her eyes, but then, like, the fingers open.
We will conduct the examinations one-on-one. Thank you. Thank you very much for your enthusiasm, sir, though.
Well, get over here. Come on. I ain't got all day.
But you understand that even once you have been given a clean bill of health, this area is under quarantine. You cannot leave.
How big is the area?
It is several miles in diameter. It is. You will have the freedom of the hospital and the village.
How long have we been here? When was the crash?
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Did we crash near the village?
A little bit outside. You crashed near the diamond mine.
There's a diamond mine.
Diamond mine.
This is why we have this facility here. It was originally built for the workers at the mine, but the mine is mined out now. It is all closed down. But we keep this hospital open because the former workers, they are. A lot of them are very sick now. This is why we called Cadesius and asked them for help, because things are getting so much worse.
Oh, that's a damn shame. Well, we'll be happy to help as soon as we're fit and well.
I can help you with your accounts.
Any ghost issues in the area?
Any ghosts that need to pay invoices?
We are very badly behind on our paperwork, so yes, I mean, if you can help us with that, that would be good.
Oh, fantastic. It's the only thing I can think of doing. I'm not a doctor. I can't do any of that.
I really hope that you've maxed out accounting.
Oh, honey, I've got 50% in accounting, okay.
I love the idea that Minerva is just going to be doing the books and she'll be alive at the end.
Yeah, very, very average account.
Well, the only medical experience I have is once I saved my cat Nigel from choking on a chicken bone. That's it.
I mean, I don't want to be the one who's like nitpicking here, but that's technically veterinary medical attention. It's not really.
Oh, okay, Mr. Parapsychologist.
Thank you. I am a leader in the field.
I know, seriously, it sounds like it's a really cool job. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any medical issues with ghosts, I'm your guy.
So, I mean, you probably get this question quite a lot, but have you ever seen a ghost?
Seen? No, detected? Yes, I have a ghost detector.
Oh, really? And what does this look like, this ghost detector?
Do I have my ghost detector like around my bed? No. I look around. It's pretty high tech stuff. I mean, some people call it a satchel. It's like a satchel with lights, but it does a lot of science. You wouldn't get it.
Well, probably not. I'm not a parapsychologist.
That's quite impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing your satchel with lights. It's gonna be nice. It's
Bobby is just looking back and forth between his, you know, the I suppose companions. With just a look of abject horror and bewilderment on his face at this point.
Stop standing behind us. The gown's closed at the front.
At this point, I remember that I'm naked and go very, like, I go decide to pick up my gown.
Jumping jacks.
So, Mr. Doctor, you said that the plane hadn't crashed too near here. Is there a chance that any of our equipment or possessions have survived, or do you have them stashed away somewhere in this village?
Yes, we have some. We have some of your belongings. Nurse Tetro here will be able to help you with getting some of your belongings back. Some of them, I assume, were lost in the crash. Sorry, I've been very rude. I am Dr. Thibault.
Nice to meet you, Doctor.
Hello, Dr. Thibault.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for curing us. How are you doing? I still don't know why we're here, but thank you.
Real swell. I like what you did.
Well, I am, of course, very concerned about this memory loss of yours. We must conduct a proper examination later. I will do a physical examination now to ensure that you are in good health. But as soon as you are fit enough, then I would like to have a discussion with all of you just to see whether you can remember anything, or just to try to understand. There is always some risk, you understand, between the the accident you have been in, and the disease that you have contracted, that there will be damage to your brains. But I merely want to make sure that your brains are still are still healthy.
This illness you've mentioned, the sleeping sickness, is this a normal occurrence in this area of the world, or is this something brand new, something novel?
No. It is very common. It has been a very bad problem in this area for as long as there have been people, I think. But in recent years, medical science has made big advances with the treatment. We are able to save more people than ever before, but it is still a big killer.
Should you not be like bringing us some medicine or something then?
Yes. I would ask each of you just to relax for now. I will speak to the nurses, and they will bring you, I think, not just some medicine, but you will need food and water. We will see whether we can get you started eating the solid food, because I imagine you are feeling very weak.
And are we contagious?
No. This disease, it is spread by the flies. But we are being very cautious, because the disease that we are seeing at the moment, it does seem to be a new strain. We believe that it is spread like normal sleeping sickness, but we are being cautious at the moment while we examine patients and determine the pathology and epidemiology of the disease.
And was there nowhere like nicer you could quarantine us? Like, I don't know, some sort of cesspit?
This is our nicest room.
Thank you very much for the room, sir. Never mind my friend here. Appreciate your hospitality.
You don't even know my name. What do you mean, friend?
Shut up, Timothy.
I don't know if I introduced it to you. Oh, I did.
You did.
The other way around.
You must understand that we do not have the same kind of resources as Caduceus does. I mean, this is why we called on you.
Yeah,
we
these Belgians are very poor. You need to just be more accepting of the hospitality we've got.
Since the mine closed, the Fourminiere, it does not give us much of a budget anymore. We make do with what we can.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you've been a huge help.
Then I will go talk to the nurses now. Please, as I said, you are very sick. Please be careful. Do not overexert yourself.
Just so we're clear on the advice, it's stay calm and don't die. Maybe not deliver those, you know, tips together in the future.
And with that, he scurries off.
You said, Scott, the last memory was something like we'd been investigating something, or we'd been looking. What did you say exactly?
Yeah, I'll leave it up to you to determine the details, but you've been doing something that involved poking around or investigating.
My satchel is going crazy.
It sounds to me that we are a very odd bunch of people. I mean, obviously skilled in our own fields, like Minerva here with her accounts and ghosts and so on. We seem like an unusual group to be sent to the Belgian Congo to help out with the sleeping sickness pandemic. Just wondering what your last memory was, because I don't remember getting on a plane. I remember being in the Medium building.
Yeah.
I started a night shift, if I remember rightly. And maybe I've just lost a whole ton of my memories, but it just seems rather an unusual choice for Caduceus to send this particular group out.
Do we have different memories? Last memories.
I'll leave it up to you to compare notes, but I'm not assuming that they're all the same.
Yeah, you're Minerva here. You said you were feeding your cats.
I was. I'd finished work for the day. I went home, as I do every day, and, you know, I've just fed the cats. Just read the newspaper. Like, I don't know.
I got a vague memory of like coming to and seeing like a bright light in my face, and I think it was Dr. DuPont was doing something, and then I fell asleep again. I don't remember. But
the lizard brain guy?
Yeah, him.
Oh God,
he's a good guy normally. I mean, Mom says stay away from him.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Yeah, he's a little bit weird.
Hold on. Just so we're clear, these aren't inside jokes in the office. I'm new to the office. I started like 2 weeks ago. And my last memory was walking, like, left the office and was walking through the halls. And next thing, my ghost detector, it's not a satchel. It started just beeping and whirring and buzzing, and I followed it. It's like a metal detector. It beeps louder the closer you get to the ghosts. And then nothing. But lizard's brains? Is that like a fun team name you have?
Oh no, it's Dr. DuPont. He works with lizard's brains. It's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom says he's a terrible doctor. He doesn't do anything worth talking about.
So, like testing human drugs on lizards?
No, I think something like he tries to put lizard brains into other like animals and stuff. He's got like he's got a very strange acting. I can't remember what animal it was. It was like a ferret or something. It's got a lizard brain in it.
He talked my ear off about it at the Christmas party. And after that party, I started drinking a lot.
Is that before or after you met me?
After. Just after, actually.
Just so we're clear, I don't think I got your names. there's a lot to take. There's a lot happening right now. I'm in Belgium.
You're in the Congo, ghost. Honey.
Ghost?
Sorry. Well, I mean, yeah. Let's not split hairs.
This probably does count as Belgium. That's, I mean, they have got an occupying force.
I mean, let's not worry about the names. It's not important.
I'm
it's okay.
Bobby. Nice to meet you.
I'm Brian.
Argyle.
Hi. Yeah.
Bobby and Brian.
And I'm Minerva. Minerva Schmidt.
Like the socks. Okay.
Last thing I remember is I just met up with Canning at a bar across the street from Cadisi's to pick up a pay packet from my most recent odd job.
Canning goes to bars?
I was just about to
say
that.
Oh, Canning's a sweetheart. Always what? There. When I was going through a divorce, you know, he would just listen to me go on and on for hours and hours. Lovely guy. Why? Do you know?
I did speak to him at the last office party. He's a great listener. Honestly, I felt so hard. He's a great man. Minerva looks really starry-eyed.
Right. I think I said earlier, but I'm Timothy Alcott Jr., by the way.
It's nice to meet you, Timothy.
Wow.
Did you say there's a ghost here?
Oh, no, that's like in the office, I think, potentially. But it might still be there. I mean, ghosts. No, well, like, there was a ghost, but like they're like people. They can come and go. I don't know. Just still trying to understand. I'm an expert, but there's not a lot to know. It doesn't take much to become an expert.
Are you trying to see the bars real low?
I met a ghost once.
All of a sudden, Timothy like sits down the bed beside her and says, ooh, do tell me.
The ghost? Yeah, it's when my cat, Mr. Tibbles, passed away. Very sad, very sad. He was a lovely boy. Honestly, just curl up on your lap. And yeah, sometimes I see his ghost. You know, just coming into the apartment, hanging around, trying to eat the tuna, but goes through his little paws. Yeah, that's it.
Wait a minute. Don't you have like a couple of cats?
I have 3 cats. I used to have 4. Mr. Tibbles died. Okay.
So is it just that you see a cat eating from Mr. Tibble's bowl?
Sometimes, yes. In the night, when it's really
couldn't
dark.
It just be one of your other cats?
No, Mr. Tibbles was a tabby. He was very distinctive, okay.
But you said
like
it was
I said,
late
Nigel
night.
Nigel is Ginger, Terrence is a calico, and Betty is a tortoiseshell. completely different cats.
As a more fair skinned fella, I believe Nigel would prefer to be called a red cat rather than a ginger. Very offensive.
Well, I'm sorry. He's a red cat. Okay.
And while you're clarifying this, a couple of nurses you haven't seen before come in. They both look like they're in their 40s, maybe 50s. One is fairly tall with short, graying blonde hair. The other is much shorter, a little overweight with, a big grin on her face. The shorter one looks around and says, in French, she says, We have food for you. Please, everyone, in your beds, make yourselves comfortable. We will bring the food around now, and we have medication. You must take the medication with food. Then, you know, we will bring water. You must drink lots of water, lots of water. You've been very sick. And then after that, we will bring round bowls and you can all clean yourself. And once you're all clean and properly attired, you can then go and talk to the doctor. He has many questions for you, many questions.
When you say she had like a big grin on her face, is it like a creepy grin? Or is it like she's just pleased that Kieran's character's not wearing his gown?
His name is Brian. He did introductions like five times.
Brian has picked up his gown since and is now adorning it so that he's, you know, he's decent. Yeah.
No, she seems genuinely cheerful. The other one does have a bit of a haunted look to her. And yeah, unless you have any objections or want to get up to shenanigans or anything like that, they will feed you and give you some warm water for you to clean yourself and stuff like that. And you know, once you are clean and have a change of gowns and so on, then the two nurses return and say, you know, the shorter one claps her hands together and says, right, then if you are ready now, the doctor will talk to you. And shall we leave things there for this episode with you about to go in for your little therapy session, shall we say, with the doctor?
Sounds ominous. So, again, thank you everyone for playing and joining us for this very special two-headed serpent segue. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our new characters and this new arc of the story and the ongoing story. If you'd like to find out more, please do check out our website at howwerollpodcast.com, where you can find the full Two-Headed Serpent arc, which is a long-running Pulp Cthulhu campaign. And you'll also find all our other Call of Cthulhu, D&D, and various other Alien and other run-throughs that we've done. If you want to get in contact with the show, please do check us out on Twitter at HWRpodcast or me at JoeTheGM. We have a Reddit page, a Facebook page, and the Discord, which is very much the hub of our social media community. So please do check that out. There's links in the show notes and on Twitter. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to hear more, please do check out our Patreon at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast, where for a few dollars a month, not only can you help us keep going, but you can also get a whole load of cool shit, which is available nowhere else. Curran, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I love the new character.
Thank you. It's been fun. I think the voice is slipping here and there, but I'll get to grips with it eventually. Having a blast. It's fun to play with Owen again. It feels like it's been forever.
Yay.
Because it has been forever.
It's been too long. Yeah, if anyone wants to get in contact with me, they can find me on Twitter at Curran_J, or you can find me on the How We Roll Discord, which is the best place to communicate with any of us. Just at me and you will receive a response. Cool.
Cool.
Succinct. Real, cool. Real strong finish, Curran. Real strong finish.
To show us how it's done, Owen, welcome back to the show. Really glad that you've made it for Two-Headed Serpent, because I know that you were actually originally going to be in this campaign, but just things didn't quite get together with you know, jobs and moving back to Ireland and all sorts.
Yeah, it was the first episode that I ever missed, I think, of the show. After like 3 or 4 years. I moved back to Ireland this time. And it was meant to be a small 10 episode
arc.
We said
we were going to do the entire campaign in a year. And yeah, 5 years later, we're about halfway through.
I know, it's a great show and I'm glad to be here. I've been dying to try Pulp as well. It's my first time doing Pulp. So yeah, it's been fun. And we're not even out of a stinky hospital bed yet. So For those who want to find me, I'm How We Roll Owen. Owen is E-O-G-H-A-N. I'm that all over the internet. You'll see me streaming 3 days a week on Twitch. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see when I go live. I don't have a schedule at the moment. If you want to chat to me directly on Discord, I'm in the How We Roll Discord. Like Curran said, at me. Especially if you're complimentary, I'll reply really quick.
And obviously, one of the stars of our Flotsam and Jetsam arc, OG called Cthulhu, which is going out at the moment.
I don't know. Freedom is there. I don't feel anyone's at the same level as that. It feels like we're very much, you know, the ensemble behind there.
And Dave, again, thank you so much for joining us. I'm intrigued about your character, although I say that quite a lot. How can people find more of you?
I am to be found exclusively on our Discord. I don't media as the social in general. But I'm pretty active on there. So just at Dave with any questions, comments. I'm not fishing for you to say you love my characters at all. It's fine. It's fine. You know, any love you want to send my way. if you want more of me, there's always our cult stuff, which I believe is Patreon only. So sign up for that. Mm. And I'm do the D&Ds, do this, do Bart. I play Bart most of the time, in case you're wondering. So I'm having a bit of a change.
And Camille, our last player tonight, thank you again. And I absolutely love this character. I'm not sure it's quite going to reach the peaks of Leah in Alien, but
we can only see. I apologize for my shocking accent. I feel like it was going all over the shop, but hopefully with some more practice, I will get it down. Okay, honey. Okay.
It's already we'll making see. My testicles shrivel every time you speak, so I think it's pretty spot on.
Excellent.
And I'm trying Welsh today, so no one needs to worry about their accent.
That was Welsh.
It's all good. We're pushing the boat out, you know.
As opposed to my pitch perfect Belgian accents.
Just trying to be Hercule Poirot, basically. No, I am Belgian.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was going to go like full Janice from Friends or Aunt Gail from Bob's Burgers. Maybe as the show progresses, it'll get just more towards that direction. We shall see. But yeah, great to be playing Minerva. I really look forward to seeing what unfolds in the B team. Also, my first time playing with Owen ever. So, hi, Owen!
It's been a pleasure.
And I've been on Two Headed Serpent for 4 years now, which is ridiculous.
Good God.
Yeah, so I know. Usually playing Jane Farewell. So Minerva's going to be an interesting different character to play in Pulp. But I'll stop rambling. If anyone wants to catch up with me, I'm Camille B on the Discord. I'm also on Twitter at Camille Brouard. And I also have various Instagram accounts for all my hobbies and things. If you can spell Camille Brouard, which is, to be fair, a bit of a pig, you'll probably be able to find me.
I think I added them in the show notes. So the spelling is there. You've been added. That's what the kids say, isn't it?
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, thank you, Scott, for taking us through this amazing scenario. Has it lived up to your expectations so far?
Yes, I think so. I was counting on not having much to do during the first session, and that has been entirely right.
He's like a parent. He's just fed us and cleaned us and clothed us.
After all the talk of Minerva's cats, in the midst of all our character goodbyes there, one of my cats just sat at my feet and started vomiting very loudly. So I don't know how much of that the microphone.
Oh, Scott, we didn't even know that's good.
Oh, Betty, no. not again. It's the chicken, isn't it? She just doesn't like the chicken.
But yes, if people want to talk to me about anything, including vomiting cats, then they can find me on the How We Roll Discord. You can
vomiting cats.
Oh yeah, my favorite topic. Alternatively, if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at sdorwood there. Or if you want to hear some of the other stuff I do that very rarely has cats vomiting in the background, then you could listen to The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson. Matt Sanderson, who actually wrote this chapter. You can find that at blasphemoustomes.com.
And we'll be back very, very soon with the next exciting episode. If you cannot wait, please do check out patreon.com/How We Roll Podcast.